Oh, good morning. Maybe we could start with a word of prayer. Lord, as we come to you this morning, I want to thank you that we can be gathered together here. Thank you for the beautiful day that you've given to us. Pray that we wouldn't be taking it for granted. Pray that you would be with us, lead, guide, and direct us in all that we do and say. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, recently in our small group, we had the book that we've been going through. The chapter was speaking on love and the love that Christ had with his Father. And so I'm gonna throw a little bit of twist on it. We're gonna look at that together, something that I've been contemplating in Matthew chapter 26. Here is the just after the Last Supper, and Judas has betrayed Jesus with the kiss, and we see, I think it's Peter here. This account doesn't say his name, but I believe it's Peter. Jumping in the middle of the story, starting in verse 50, Jesus saith unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew a sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. And said Jesus unto him, And then Jesus said unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all that they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? And thus it must be. In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out again against a thief with swords and staves? For to take me, I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. I didn't write all this down, but we see the very close relationship that God and Jesus had. It says in the scriptures that if you know Jesus, you know the Father. So the two are kind of almost inseparable. And thinking as Jesus went to the cross, he said that if at any point he couldn't take it anymore, he could have called more than 12 legions. And best of my calculations, 12 legions is at least 72,000 angels. And it says more than, so who knows how many he could have gotten. But otherwise, he didn't. He willingly, even though through great pain and agony, he didn't. In Matthew 27, we've seen just a little bit of glimpse of what he went through. Starting in verse 26, then he released Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit on him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that, they mocked him. They took off the robe off of him, and put on his own raiment, and led him away to crucify him. So we see here he was beaten, had a crown of thorns shoved on his head and mocked. And not only that, we're going to skip a few verses down to verse 38. After he was on the cross, it says, Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and one on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that can destroy the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said, He saved himself, he saved others, he himself he cannot save. If he be king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. We see here just a glimpse of what he has went through. Not only has he been beaten and spat upon, but now he's basically public humiliation in the middle of the air, and everyone walking by is making great fun of him. As humans, it's hard to imagine, really, what he went through willingly, without a fuss. That's kind of unimaginable for us to think about putting ourselves through that, but really, that's what he did for us. Flipping it in the same way, God calls us, he sets an example for us. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, hereby receive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him? We see that and we're like, wow, that's pretty incredible. But then we see it flipped. That's how we are called to love our brethren and the world. Matthew chapter 5. If I can get the right book. Starting in verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So that's a pretty high standard right here. It says being perfect, as God is perfect. It's actually extremely high calling. Without God as an example and a help, it is really impossible. But as long as we have a good working relationship with him, it is possible. It's not going to be easy, but we can do it. So, a couple of examples in Matthew chapter 18. A couple verses there. Verse 21 and 22. Then Peter came unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall thy brother sin against thee, and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's a big amount of times. And I'm pretty sure that if we had to remember, keep track of every person we forgave, if we kept a tally, we'd pretty soon lose count, because that's quite a lot. And goes to show, we're not supposed to stop forgiving and loving, even when we don't feel like it. We're supposed to do it anyway. 1 Corinthians 13, I'm pretty sure we're probably all familiar with the beginning of the chapter where it talks about love, but I'm going to read the first 8 verses here, starting in verse 1. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it all vanisheth away. You read over this, and it shows us what true love looks like. As Christians, we're called to this type of love, and it's not, definitely not easy. It takes a lot of work and some serious elbow grease. But with God's help, it's possible. So this is just something I've been thinking over the past while. Seeing how it relates to my life, we're called not only to love the brethren in church, but also this type of love to our enemies. It's not exactly easy and played out in our lives, but Christ has left a perfect example when he went to the cross, willingly, even though it came with a great cost for him. And so for us, we need to be willing to die to our self and our will and take sacrifices, even when it means it's not going to be fun or pretty. Thank you.